to the 9-8 podcast, the home of progressive underground music right here in Australia. My name is Alex Hogg, and every fortnight I'm joined by Mr. Dave Ellis. Hello, Dave.
G'day, g'day. How are you?
Oh, mate, it's been a very, very busy week, and it's not gonna get any busier. Turns
mate,
out wedding...
I know the exact same. The exact same things happened with me, man. I haven't had. I've been working straight for 28 days, so I'm really, really thankful that this is a long weekend that I get off.
Oh yeah, because you guys have actually got. Do you have a long weekend? Is there a public holiday involved? Or
yeah, Monday. Yeah.
Oh, for you guys, but not for us.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean,
we had our public holiday weekend last weekend anyway, because the Queen needs three birthdays.
I was going to say, there's that, and also, I mean, I think the Melbournians got it the week prior as well because they had what's that AFL Day or whatever the hell it is.
Oh,
it's ridiculous.
Because of course, you know, Australia is the only country that gives public holidays to sporting events. The AFL Grand Final, and of course the Melbourne Cup.
I was going to say the Melbourne Cup, technically not a not a public holiday, but may as well be because we all just knock off from 12 o'clock and get hammered. So
you might be able to, I can't.
Well, no, but you know, difference.
Indeed.
The best part of working in the media.
Yeah, yes, indeed. So we have a couple of pieces of follow-up. Now, these first two follow-up items are kind of linked with one another.
Uh-huh.
Literally the day after we recorded the last episode was an announcement that Jeff Tate is touring Australia.
Yep. yet the theme continues.
Indeed. It's like, goddamn, every damn time it happens. So I look forward tomorrow to the announcement of some other big tour that's happening.
Exactly.
I look forward to that tomorrow. You'll have to tell me about that. I'm going back to work tomorrow, so...
Yeah, I don't know. I presume there's going to be something big. I'm just waiting on Slipknot, to be honest with you, basically announce that they're going to tour despite Metallica not being there, which we'll get onto in a minute.
I wonder what's happening with that. Yeah, anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So, the tour dates for Jeff Tate. Now, he's coming around with Operation Mindcrime. He's going to be playing Operation Mindcrime all the way through its entirety, plus a bunch of other classic Queensrÿche tracks with his band.
Yep. Obviously, which is interesting because we were actually talking about that on the show, and then all of a sudden it got announced.
Yeah. Well, the fun thing is, of course, this is not... You can't call it Queensrÿche. You won't find Queensrÿche mentioned anywhere on the poster, thanks to the divorce terms that he agreed to when the Queensrÿche band threw him out.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the deal. Now, the dates for these concerts are... Thursday, January 30 at the Zoo in Brisbane, January 31st at Sydney in the Manning Bar, and Saturday, Feb 1st at Croxton in Melbourne. Now, those of you who may remember from two shows ago when we talked about Neil Morse, you may be thinking, hang on a minute, aren't those the same days as Neil Morse? And yes, you would be absolutely right. However, Neil Morse's tour dates have now been swapped, so he will be playing in Sydney on the Saturday and Melbourne on the Friday.
Correct. They've swapped a few things around so people can get to all of the gigs, which is great because we need to do that.
As opposed to compare and contrast, I remember my fiance telling me that in 2002 in Bulgaria, this was a time when there weren't that many concerts in Bulgaria, but the two different concert promoters in town had booked Dream Theater and Slayer on the same day in two venues across town. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, people are sort of, you know, you've moved the concerts around. It's like, well, the alternative is to split the crowd and then nobody wins.
Exactly. And then venues get pissed off because there's more stuff that's not being sold and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
And
then this way,
everybody
wins. And frankly, now it's more enticing for those people who don't live in Sydney or Melbourne to maybe go across and try and make a weekend out of it.
Exactly.
In whichever city that they prefer.
That's exactly it. And I will tell you from experience, go to Melbourne.
I haven't decided which one I'm going to yet, but now there's an opportunity to make a weekend out of it. Now it's like, okay, cool. Which one? Where do we want to go?
Well, I mean, you have free accommodation in Sydney. So
this is where I was going. It's like, well, if we come to Sydney, that significantly makes things a lot nicer for me. And then I have to try and find somewhere to stay in Melbourne.
100%. But I think that's about all the follow-up, isn't it? Unless, was there something else that you wanted to mention?
No, that was all the follow-up I had.
Okay, I think that's all the follow-up that I had as well from last time. So we'll jump straight into the news.
So this first piece of news here, Dave, is one that you've put in the show notes. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, so you've probably heard me bang on about this on the show, or mention it a couple of times on the show. There is a website called The Soundcheck. So it's run by Tiana Speda. I'm not quite sure how German you want your last name to be, Tiana, if you are actually listening. And she's quite tight with a lot of the prog scene around Australia. I've run into her at stacks of gigs, from Osaka Punch through to Carnival and Cog, et cetera, et cetera. And Dead of Winter, actually, which I've mentioned quite a few times on the podcast. So she's just started a brand new podcast as well called Behind the Soundcheck. The first episode is with Brenton from Osaka Punch, which is their bassist, basically chatting all about their touring and how they write and all that sort of stuff. It's available on iTunes and I think all the usual sort of places you can find it, Spotify, and probably it's on the Soundcheck website as well, which is thesoundcheck.org. So definitely go and check that one out. It's actually a really good interview, so worthwhile having a listen to that one.
All right, so we'll throw a link in the show notes to that. I'd be quite interested to hear that as well, actually.
It's good. It's a good interview. It's really good.
Excellent. It's kind of related to that as well. I know a friend of the show, Daniel Wiggins, has started a YouTube series talking about how music tends to work for him, how he writes, how tours and shows get booked and that sort of thing. It's a really interesting little series there, so we'll throw a link in the show notes to that one as well. So it's a little bit more messaging, a little bit more content for you guys out there to listen to when we're off the air.
Absolutely. There's a whole bunch of YouTubers actually that are doing some really, really good stuff so far as the music industry is concerned. Not so much here in Australia, but a lot of guys out of the US doing stuff on touring and what they do in the studio, and from, music theory right through to just like gear maintenance and gear demos and all that sort of stuff. So there's a world out there. You guys should definitely go and check it out on YouTube if you haven't already.
Absolutely. And if there are some people out there that you particularly like and think that we might like them, get in touch. Let us know.
Definitely.
So another piece of news here, you've got an upcoming tour with Opus of a Machine and Glass Ocean.
Oh, yeah. So Opus of a Machine, we all know who they are. And if you don't, get on it. Glass Ocean as well. Opus are from Brisbane. They're kind of like a... they're prog, but they're sort of more melodic, like droney, shoegazy kind of prog, not in the jangly, weird, hipster kind of way, but more, less, not like Caligula's Horse is what I'm trying to say. Not like Dream Theater. It's more like, big chords and, melodies, and just sit and close your eyes for 10 minutes and listen to a song. They're fucking fantastic. So they're touring with Glass Ocean in about a month's time. I'm pretty sure it's in November they're hitting Sydney. And they've got a whole bunch of guests that are going to be joining them. In Sydney, they're going to be touring, well, they're sharing the stage with friends of the show Code Atlantic and another band called Introspect. And I think it's actually their EP launch on that night as well. That's the 30th of November.
Oh, fantastic.
In Brisbane, they'll be playing the Black Bear Lodge with He Danced and Innovo, November 23. And in Melbourne, they're doing the famous Bendigo Hotel with Fam Bam and Little Rituals on the 7th of December. The one in Sydney is going to be at the factory, on the factory floor there. So definitely worthwhile going out and grabbing some tickets to that one because, these guys are working really, really hard to actually bring some decent music into Australia. And obviously a lot of good prog is coming out of both Melbourne and Brisbane at the moment, and sort of out of the fringes of Sydney, not Sydney itself, but out of the actual sort of suburbs, the surrounding suburbs of Sydney as well.
Definitely out of the Blue Mountains as well. We've talked in the show before about Katoomba and what's happening up there.
Yep, absolutely. Halcyon Rain have just released their debut EP as well, which is just absolutely mind-bendingly good. So definitely get out, check these guys out, get down and support these dudes on their show, their tour.
So what's this I see in the show notes here, Dave, about you being on Q&A? What's going on? You've been moonlighting on TV again.
Mate, I got quoted in the Sydney Morning Herald. Boom.
Oh, God.
because, you want to be quoted in right-wing media these days. It's such an honour.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Right. Probably on the next page, right next to fucking Andrew Bolt or someone,
No, it was... So there was a special episode of Q&A last week that was all about the music music as a general thing, right? They've been wanting to do this episode for quite a while, I know, because I know some of the producers from the show and everything, but then there was this federal election, there was a state election, blah, 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 and they just had to sort of throw it by the sidelines. So I was fortunate enough that I got on the show. I got to ask a question, and I asked a question basically of the panel, basically saying, you know, so in a nutshell, I said, Sydney's music scene's fucked. How do we go about fixing it? Right? That's, in a nutshell, that's what I said. There was a bit more to it than that. It was about a big four line question kind of thing. On the panel, it was worthwhile noting you had some pretty big heavyweights of the industry as well. There was Tex Perkins on there. There was Mojo Juju. There was Katie Noonan, Jonathan from the Choir of Hard Knocks as well. So it was a pretty big panel, right? And Tex Perkins, I wanted to bring this up because I wanted to sort of show how ignorant a lot of people are about what's happened in Sydney with the lockouts and everything like that, and I'm not going to get onto politics on this one. But basically he said, well, if the Sydney music scene's that distraught, then go and hire a hall and put on your own shows.
You know what? When I hear that, you know what I think of? I think of Roger Daltrey when he starts talking a lot of bullshit about Brexit. Oh, we were able to tour through Europe in the 60s back then. It should be fine now. And it's like, yes, but it's not 1964 anymore. It's not fucking 1971 anymore.
Exactly. You know? And
it's
a lot more complicated
these days than just rolling up in a van with a big drum kit and blow shit up and then play some music.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a little bit fucking more complicated than that. But of course, they don't know that. I mean, Roger probably has agents and booking people and all that sort of to deal with all that nonsense for him. I'm sure if he got to the coalface and saw it for himself, he'd be like, Jesus Christ, how the hell are we supposed to tour anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing.
Another layer to stack on top of that as well. It's the Who. It's not like they're going to have any problems actually finding places to play, even if they do have to pay $1 million.
Exactly. Like, I mean, it's very different for an up-and-coming band, particularly in Sydney. And I think Tex showed his ignorance on the whole thing because, I mean, okay, cool, go and hire a venue. Yeah, sure, okay, so what about public liability insurance? What about licenses? What about licensing? What about the cops rolling up when the music's too loud because the neighbor next door's complained? What about, you know, all this shit that you have to deal with nowadays? You can't just fucking rock up to some hall in the middle of a park, put a show on, charge money for it, and actually make money. That's the other thing. Who's going to pay for the hiring of the venue? What, are we supposed to then, you know, put the onus of that on us? Like, it's bad enough in Sydney as it is. On a side note to that as well, there's been a massive report that's been released, which is the big report the government was doing into the lockouts and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, is that the one that I said Gladys was just going to say fake news and move on?
That's the one. Yeah. The one.
Okay, so that report's out.
That report is out.
Briefly, without delving too far into politics, what was it saying? Basically the same sort of things we were talking about, I would have thought.
Suggested to roll back absolutely everything.
Yeah, like that's ever going to happen.
No, this is the thing, right? The thing is, they've basically said you need to get rid of all the bullshit, all the lockout laws, everything needs to go, and we need to start again. And basically everything that KSO has been campaigning for the last 5 years was in that report as a recommendation.
So, funny that.
Yeah, I know, right? Funny. Oh, common sense. Fuck me. So we'll see what happens.
Common sense isn't all that common.
November, so
yeah, but the problem is, though, is that the developers have already made their money. All the people are in this place now. Mm-hmm. Unless they repeal the section or put entire big blankets over sections of the city and say, you can't make a noise complaint, and if you want to, fuck off.
Well, that's one of the suggestions as well, which I would like to see happen.
That's the first thing that
personally.
They should do is, okay, right, we're just going to create entertainment. We've got one here and one here. I don't know where they should be. They'll figure that bit out themselves. But and then you go, right, they're here and they're here. Anyone who lives in this area, you don't get to complain.
That's right.
Don't like it, move.
Especially if you've moved into the area post all that happening. Fuck you guys.
Oh, okay, maybe get like an amnesty period or something where they can work with people and come up with solutions or something, and then after that, that's it.
Exactly. So
anyway, speaking of music venues, you've got something in here in the show notes about a new venue in Melbourne, a far nicer city for the arts.
Yeah, funny that. So there's a new bar called Deluxe Bar and Lounge. Well, it's actually not new. It's been around for a little while, but it's turning itself into a live music venue only once a month. It's like Thursday evenings, I think, once a month or something like that. But it's all going to be focused on heavy music. So the official launch party, I think from memory, was a couple of nights ago at time of recording. Super Heist headlined it. And there was like Druid, Southern Guns, you know, The Weight of Silence. It's huge. It's looks like it's actually going to be a halfway decent venue. It's called Paper Cut. With the new venue name. It's in Moonee Ponds. I don't know exactly where that is. I'm not from Melbourne. But it's really good to see that, you know, now we're starting to get, we being us in the metal community, are starting to get a little bit of recognition, and having some specific venues sort of open up, unlike the ones in Sydney that are closing. So Valve's closed, by the way.
Oh, God. Another one down, huh?
Yeah, I know. Another one bites the dust.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Now, Hoggy, you've got a whole bunch in here about new records.
Yes, I do.
And I got to tell you, I'm loving the look of all of these. So we've got Steve Hackett, DVD Genesis Revisited with a band and orchestra.
So, Steve Hackett has a new live DVD out. He did a couple of shows at the Royal Festival Hall in London with an orchestra. That's a great venue, actually. Really, really good acoustics in there, even though it looks like an old Soviet battleship, but never mind. yay, brutalism. So this DVD is out on October the 25th, Genesis Revisited Band and Orchestra Live. I'm going to throw a link in the show notes to the to a song from that album. They've put out something ahead of time, Dancing with the Moonlit Night. He will be playing this album in Australia later this year, and if you do not have tickets for that concert, for God's sake, get in on it, because they're starting to sell out rather quickly.
I imagine they would do, because Steve Hackett.
Indeed.
Why wouldn't they? On orchestras and such, new Marillion album.
Yes. Well, new in the sense that there's one coming out, but it's basically a reworking. So what they have done, because last year when they played at the Royal Albert Hall, they had a string quartet, which was called In Praise of Folly. Mm-hmm. They decided to go off to Real World Studios in Portugal and do a series of old songs with these guys and put it out as a CD.
Fuck,
CD is called Marillion with Friends from the Orchestra. On the CD we have Estonia, A Collection, Fantastic Place Beyond You, This Strange Engine, which I know you'll be very excited about.
Okay, cool, I'm buying it.
Yep. The Hollow Man, The Sky Above the Rain, Season's End, and the one that is a particular favourite of my fiancé, Ocean Cloud. The song that I was thinking they were going to put on this damn record, one called Space, is not on the record, which is kind of disappointing, actually. That was the song that when they played at the Royal Albert Hall with the orchestra, they did one set, which was the whole of the new album, Fear, all the way through, and then the second set was with the orchestra. When they came onto the stage with the orchestra, the song that they opened with was The Space, which starts with this whole string. There's a string machine on there, which they did with actual strings, and it was fucking awesome. That is not on this record, which is annoying, and I will be trying to find out why.
Maybe they just didn't want to do it. Maybe they figured they'd already done it. You know what prog heads are like.
True. The other possibility is that if you take the string machine out of it, that doesn't really leave Mark Kelly anything to do on the keyboards. Which is always a problem when you're dealing with an orchestra. It's like, okay, we've got the orchestra doing this bit, and the keyboard player goes, awesome, what am I going to do?
Exactly. So, I mean, there's also a new ELO record coming out that you've mentioned
is.
In Jeff, here as well, which Jeff, I am super excited about.
Yeah, Jeff Lynne's ELO is going to have, he's got an album coming out in November. This is will be on November the 1st. It's called From Out of Nowhere. There's been nothing that's out at the moment, nothing released at time of recording ahead of time, so you can, but it's ELO. How could you not?
Well, exactly. It's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
It's just it.
The backing band that he had for that show was actually really, really cool as well. He had the guy who played bass with Anderson Bradford, Anderson Raven Wakeman. Lee Pomeroy III. He was playing bass on that when I saw them live in London.
Sweet.
So it'll be something definitely to look out for. We were talking also about many of you may have seen on Facebook that Transatlantic are back together again, and they're making a record. As we're speaking, they're making a record.
I am so fucking keen for that. So keen for it. It's going to be that's going to be great. Now, you actually had a chat with Mike Portnoy, or you messaged him or something on Facebook recently.
I did message him on Facebook. Now, this was about the Sons of Apollo live DVD where they did the show with an orchestra in Plovdiv in Bulgaria. There were a couple of songs on that record that were, for contractual reasons, not allowed to be put on the DVD. One of them was Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd. They couldn't get the rights to put that on the DVD.
Bugger.
So Mike has slapped that and one other song, which I can't remember off the top of my head. I can't remember what the other one is, but they put both of them up on YouTube because rights issues couldn't be put on the DVD. He had the films who put it up.
Yeah.
And so I know I asked this question. I know as well, friend of the show, Joshua Batten, also asked this question. So the question that I had was, you've released the extra tracks from the Sons of Apollo show on Plovdiv on YouTube because that weren't on the DVD because of rights issues. Is the same thing legally possible for this Shattered Fortress show, or is this still too much of a problem? The post that I was commenting underneath was, Mike Portnoy has got an entire Shattered Fortress show, I believe they recorded it in Tilburg, on film, done up, ready to be released. But he can't put it out as a DVD because of rights issues with the other Dream Theater guys. So my question was, why don't you just put that up on YouTube? There's no rights issue then, because the Content ID system will take the rights and send it off to Dream Theater anyway, of which he'll probably get a cut of anyway.
Yep.
His response was, that may indeed be the best route. Sharing the Shattered Fortress on YouTube as opposed to selling a physical product. And a lot of people were very, very interested in that, as
absolutely.
You would be.
Absolutely. I for one, would love to relive that show because it was so fucking good.
It was good.
It was off its bloody tits. And I mean, that bloody Eric Gillette is fucking... Can I cut his hands off and have them for myself? Like, oh my God, they're good.
He may have some problems with that. I don't know.
Dead men don't tell any tales, Hoggy. that actually sounds amazing. I think the other track that he did was Dream On.
Might have been.
Does that sound right?
It could be. I'm not sure.
I think it was. I think it was Dream On. Absolutely. Oh man, I'd be keen as for that. Reforming of Transatlantic and, you know, maybe the Shattered Fortress being on YouTube will give me a lot of things.
Real-time follow-up here. Yeah, it was Dream On.
There you go.
It was Dream On.
Now, Devin Townsend.
Yes.
You've got in here that Devin Townsend has announced his new band for the Empath Tour.
Yes.
He did it over a video. Hoggy, who's in his band?
So, on keyboards, we've got Diego... And you're going to have to help me out with his name here, Dave. Tejada, is it? Tejada? Diego from Haken. He's going to be on keyboards.
Yep.
You've got Mike Keneally on guitar. You've got Marcus Reuter, he of Stickman fame, also on guitar. You've got Kuiper's drummer, Morgan Agron, and the bass player that was on the record itself, Nathan Navarro, and Casualties of Cool vocalist, Che Amy Dorval. That is one hell of a bloody lineup, I'll say.
I was going to say, that's huge. That's a huge lineup. Maybe he's not going to be playing a lot of guitar on this.
Certainly sounds like it. He's definitely not going to. Yeah, it sounds like he's probably going to be singing.
Yeah,
which is perfectly fine with me, because by God can the man sing. I saw him.
Absolutely.
Did you get across to the Devin Townsend acoustic show that was in Sydney a couple of weeks ago?
No, I didn't, unfortunately.
That was
in the middle of the working 7 days a week for, you know, a month straight stint, unfortunately.
That show was damn good. It was just him and an acoustic guitar. He played some songs. He'd answer some questions. There was no meet and greet or anything like that with this show because he was talking about how he doesn't want to do too much of that at the moment because it sort of affects him quite personally. But what he did is he said, look, if you want me to sign anything, leave it with the sound man. I'll sign it backstage and we'll get it back out to you.
That's pretty cool.
Because a lot of people were asking, oh, can you sign my record? Can I pose for a photo with you? And he was like, yeah, nah.
Well, that's
not doing meetings and stuff like that at the moment, just not right now.
Yeah, fair enough.
But the big thing with this tour which is something that seemed to be quite a lot of musicians seem to be doing lately. He says in the video, this will be without a net, no backing tracks, no clicks, a lot of room for improvisation and every possible avenue through musicians and production of high caliber for new and interesting things to be possible each night.
Mm. So it's that not going to be. So basically he's going to have a set list, but it's going to be more freeform.
Yeah.
Yes.
But without backing, without click tracks and stuff, because, yeah. There's quite a few musicians that are sort of trying to get away from that and get more out and, you know, trying to do... Because I imagine how that's going to work with the actual Empath record, I don't know, because there's a lot of, like, choirs and strings and all that sort of stuff on the album. So if he's not doing any backing tracks, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, but you've got to remember as well that there's a lot of technology available nowadays, so you can just basically plug into it and you have, like, a five-piece harmony band with you. So while you're singing.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it could be stuff like that. It could be, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows is probably the tagline for Devin Townsend's entire career. Devin Townsend, who knows?
Because he made a mention. Just made a picture of him sort of with his hands up in the air, shrugging, you know?
Yeah. Well, he made a mention of it when he was doing from the stage. He was talking about his career and he was like, the record company's always been very pissed off with him because whenever he has like a direction, like when he was with Strapping Young Lad, it's like, okay, we've got a direction for you. And he's like, nah, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm going to do something else. And then he went off with the Devin Townsend project and he's like, oh, okay, we've got a bit of a direction for you. Nah, I don't want to do that anymore. Puts that in the bin and then and now he's done a solo thing. So I think he was genuinely quite grateful for a lot of his fans who would sort of come along, who would sort of stick along with what he's doing, no matter what he's doing, because he's so bloody good.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Like, I imagine he probably just gets bored.
That's part of it. The other part of it as well is he uses music as like a therapeutic process, so it kind of works through a lot of things that are going on in his own head. Very interesting, talking a lot about personality and what, you know, his mental state and all that sort of thing. Very, very interesting show. But I don't think he's doing any more of those acoustic shows now. I think that was probably what got him into this idea of not doing backing tracks and things.
Yeah, more than likely, I'd say. So,
yeah. I think that about wraps it up for the news.
It does, I think.
Yes.
Oh, actually, no, there's one big bit of news that we do have to talk about.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, yeah.
I just remembered what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Metallica cancelling their world tour.
Well, I don't know about the world tour, but certainly the Australian leg of it, that's for sure.
I'm pretty sure they cancelled everything because he's going into rehab.
Yeah. I was thinking about this earlier in the week, and God, I hope he's okay. I really do. I really hope he comes out of it. However, I do look forward to, in 5 years' time, the second St. Anger album that'll come out of it, inevitably.
Yeah, hopefully better mixed.
Yeah, hopefully.
Because, you know me, don't like Metallica, and I give him a lot of shit. But St. Anger's actually a pretty good album so far as a Metallica album is concerned. It gets lyrically very good.
Yeah, lyrically very interesting. I liked some of the musical that they did drop C tuning and they went away from that. The drum sound, everybody makes fun of the drum sound. We're just going to skip past that one. But it'd be interesting to hear to what comes out of this.
Yeah,
Hopefully something does come out of it. Hopefully there's something there.
I hope he's okay, and I hope that he's doing better for sort of going in. It must be pretty hard to admit that you've got a problem.
Yeah.
But I mean, that being said, I mean, if I had to deal with Lars Ulrich every day, I'd probably be on about 19 different substances as well. So, I mean, it's a pretty terrible thing.
You look you look at some of the backstage footage of Metallica, and I think they're. I'm not 100% sure they're actually all that friendly to each other anymore these days. I'm pretty sure they're there because they're there and they can't exactly sack Lars.
Well, no, I don't know. I reckon I'd find a way to be really honest. I mean, there's kids on YouTube that are doing better covers of Lars, playing Lars better than Lars is playing himself.
Yeah, but the problem is with that, then you know what Metallica fans are like in general. They're like,
just
yes,
fans.
Just fans in general. They're like, you know, it's like yes fans. Oh, no Joel, no Rick, no yes, you know, all that sort of thing, you know.
You can imagine,
you know, no Lars, you know, if Lars isn't there, it's not Metallica, you know. That sort of crap.
Yeah,
funny thing though, there was a bootleg from the, I think it was the Download Festival a couple of years ago. probably 15 years ago now, where Lars fell ill a couple of hours before they were supposed to go on stage, and they had to quickly roam around and find drummers who were willing to fill in. So like Dave Lombardo filled in for a bit, and then Joey Jordison filled in, and then they had Lars's drum tech do a couple of songs and that sort of thing. And it was totally on the fly. And it's like one of the easiest bootlegs to find. It's fucking everywhere on the internet. So it's kind of funny that like the most popular bootleg that he's had is the one that where Lars is not bloody there.
Yeah, also hilarious that probably one of the most popular bootlegs that's ever been is a Metallica thing. Because,
not exactly pro-boot. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. All legs, for that matter. But in all seriousness and all jokes aside, we do hope he's okay, because you can't understate what Metallica has done for the metal industry as a whole. So, we hope if you do happen across this podcast, we hope you are getting better.
And absolutely.
We hope to see you on Australian shores soon. It'll be interesting, I think, to see what Slipknot does. I'm tipping they'll probably, they might headline Download in Australia next year.
Yeah.
Because of
I'm genuinely surprised, actually. They didn't just go, okay, Metallica's not coming. That's fine. Slipknot are still touring, though. So, hey, let's just... Problem is with that, though, you'd probably have to find them somewhere else to play, because I don't think Slipknot could fill up the stadium on their own.
Oh, yeah, I reckon
or
they could.
Or whatever giant big box stadium they're playing in Sydney.
Oh, bloody oath they could.
Where are they playing in Sydney? What are they playing?
I think it's ANZ Stadium.
Really? I thought ANZ was a pile of rubble at the moment.
No.
But they just knocked it down?
Allianz Stadium's been knocked down.
Oh, it's Allianz Stadium. ANZ the one at Homebush then?
ANZ's the big fuck off one at Homebush, yeah.
Oh, okay. They're playing. Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm pretty sure it was ANZ Stadium they're playing at.
Do you think Slipknot would be able to hope to do that?
Yeah.
Fill it?
Yeah, I reckon they would.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
I mean, they're big enough.
Yeah, are they Metallica big? I think Metallica big, though.
Well, there's not many that are Metallica big, but I reckon if you condensed it from like the three nights or whatever it was into the one night, you'd be fine.
Oh, okay. Just give everyone the opportunity. Yeah, okay. If you've got a ticket for any of these three concerts, we're going to have one night and Slipknot's playing. Come along.
100%. Yeah.
I'm sure you could find some opening acts relatively quickly for that one.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I know a few that would probably kill to be on the bill. So, you know, just give us a call. If you're listening to this, give me a call. I'll sort it all out for you.
Yeah. Even if it's just you and me, you with your guitar and me with my old crappy organ. I don't think we mentioned that on the show, the fact that I bought an organ.
Well, tell us about this organ.
There's nothing really to tell. It's like a cheap knockoff Hammond organ that I found for nothing on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But it sounds like a Hammond organ, which is great.
Absolutely. Hammonds are awesome.
Yes. So naturally, I took the photo and then posted it on Facebook with that famous line from the Jordan Rudess instructional video. And here in my right hand, I have a massive organ. Because of course I did. Because I'm five.
So I think that's about it for the news.
Yeah, I think we've covered everything in the news there.
So I think we should probably move on to our main topic.
Yes.
There have been a few big albums that have been released in the last couple of weeks. Most notably, just
a few.
Yeah. Well, let's call the two most notable ones, shall we? Opeth and Flying Colours' new albums.
Yes.
Are we going to talk about those today, or are we going to give some light on some of these other guys, I think, that probably need a bit of light?
Much like when Tool released an album and the coverage was dominated by that, the prog coverage has mostly been dominated by Opeth and Flying Colours, both which, I must say, are perfectly fine. They're perfectly good albums. The Opeth one was surprisingly good, actually.
I loved it.
I was expecting more choirs and mellotrons and Mikhail Akerfeld trying to pretend that he's in Camel. But he wouldn't do that. He was doing much more of the metal a little bit more of the metal stuff. Not Blackwater Park metal, but, you know, still heavier than the stuff that he's been doing for the last couple of years, which is great. I like that stuff.
I also heard quite a lot of Dream Theater influence in this album. Like, there were some guitar runs and such, some lead parts, and I'm going, well, that's straight out of Distance Over Time. Like, there was parts in it where I was, like, I could hear the solos from particular parts of songs and all that sort of stuff, and I was like, okay, cool. Like I'm about it. No worries. And they've obviously got a very good working relationship as well, Opeth and Dream Theater. So I don't think there's any sort of a big deal there.
No.
But it's a fantastic album. As too is the Flying Colors album. I mean, it basically sounds like, you know, good Muse, which I'm all over. I love that shit. So
Muse, if Muse weren't doing dance stuff.
Yes, yes. Muse, if Matt Bellamy was actually sticking to what he's good at, and that's not wearing shitty sunglasses in a synthwave film clip. But it's brilliant.
Don't hold,
it's absolutely brilliant.
Dave. Tell us what you really think.
Look, I really like Matt Bellamy. Actually, he's a fucking fantastic musician. He's classically trained. He's a weapon of a guitarist. He's a weapon on the piano, great arranger and so on and so forth. But the last about two or three Muse albums, steaming piles of dog shit. Just fucking awful.
Yeah. Like, I'd definitely go along with that. I stopped following the Muse around the Resistance, so I haven't followed them for quite some time now. I think they made a big bang. They made some cool records that I quite liked. Then they started getting more of the pop thing, and I'm like, this ain't for me.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
They're more interested in playing to Twilight fans, I guess. Didn't they have some music on Twilight? Wasn't it featured on Twilight?
I have no idea. If it was, I mean, that part I just ignored. One person that did release, or a group, I suppose, depending on how you look at it, who released some music the last couple of days, in actual fact, had the tour in Sydney, the album release tour in Sydney the last two nights. Hash Hashin, who has been on the podcast, friend of the show.
Yes.
And also makes some absolutely fucking fantastic stuff. Actually supported friends of the show as well, Halcyon Rain. On their EP launch.
Fantastic.
Which was awesome. And they played so well too. But this particular new album is Badakshan. Badakshan. There you go. Badakshan. Very hard, by the way, to pronounce a lot of these names, because a lot of them are sort of named after places in like Iran and Iraq and, you know, all that sort of Middle Eastern sort of area where we're not used to pronouncing those particular things in order as English speakers. So,
this particular region of the world is on the border of Afghanistan and Tajikistan.
Yeah.
So if you're familiar with geography, you'll know roughly where that is. But this record is fantastic. Really, really enjoyed it. I love that mix of heavy guitars with an Eastern kind of mode. It's brilliant stuff. These guys are fantastic. Lachlan's a fantastic player and very much into a lot of Arabic music. I know he's a big fan of lots of those musicians from that area. We'll throw a link in the show notes to the interview that I did with them at Progfest. He goes into some detail of musicians and influences of his that he particularly likes. If you're interested in that music and you want to listen to more of that sort of stuff, go and listen to the interview and follow along with what Lachlan's doing there, because he's fantastic.
Absolutely. We'll also put a link in the show notes, obviously, to their Bandcamp where you can buy the new album.
Absolutely.
Can buy it as a digital album for, I think it's like $10. Or you can buy an actual CD of it for $45.
The vinyl for $50, the actual CD itself for $20.
Oh, apologies.
The $45 gets you the CD and a T-shirt. T-shirt looks really cool, though, actually, so you might be interested in that.
That's what it is. That's what I'm looking at. I misread that. So, yeah, $20 for the CD, $45 for the CD and T-shirt. And you said vinyl for $50, which is like, guessing it's like a gatefold jobby?
Yep.
Yeah, sick.
Gatefold, double LP, all that good stuff. If you're into vinyl, that's a limited edition of 250 of them. So if you are interested, you might want to get your hands on that one pretty quickly.
Absolutely. Now, what's the standout track for you on this one, Hoggy?
Ooh, that's a good question. The one that I actually really liked was Death in Langer or Langer or how that the third track on the album is the one that I enjoyed the most.
Beautiful.
I happened to be listening to this album when I was driving home. From Outbush, and it was good, you know, the mix of the scenery and the music for there was really, really good there for that. So I would suggest if you're doing any long distance road travel anytime shortly, mm-hmm. throw this record on. It might work for you.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm a massive fan of the final track on the album, actually. Then He Hit Himself in the Refining Fire.
Oh, yeah, that is a good one.
Fucking top. Mm-hmm. Top. Bloody, like, just everything sort of, you can really hear the Middle Eastern influences coming through. And almost like some of that, like that whole sort of northern India moving into the stands and all that sort of stuff, Pakistani, etc., sort of musical influence coming through there. It's absolutely incredible. I absolutely fucking love that song. Bit more droney and so on and so forth in a lot of the stuff that I listen to, particularly, it's not particularly like guitar orientated or heavy or anything like that, which is probably surprising to some of you. But unbelievable album. Unbelievable. Oh, yeah. And Australian as well, so support
absolutely
Australian music, guys.
Absolutely. Another Australian band that put a record out a couple of days ago at time of recording, We Lost the Sea, have put out a record,
yeah.
Triumph and Disaster. This mm-hmm. is a fantastic album.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, I was thinking, man, you know, they really hit it big with their previous record, Departure Songs, mm-hmm. and I was like, I wonder how they're gonna kind of top that. Mm-hmm. They haven't necessarily topped it, but they've definitely gone off in a slightly different direction, and yep. they have hit it out of the park. It is a fantastic album. Really, really good top-line post-metal. The last time I saw these guys play, they opened for the big Japanese superstars Mono, and in my opinion, they blew these guys off the damn stage.
Mm-hmm.
They mm-hmm. are fantastic. A lot more synth. The last Departure Songs was quite guitar orientated. This one has a lot more synth and a lot more keyboards and pianos going on, which mm-hmm. is really, really great. So, yeah, when you've got three guitarists on the stage and you've also got a piano player, you've got to try and get the balance between the two, and they have mm-hmm. done a fantastic job of it.
Yeah.
Have you had a chance to listen to that record yet?
No, I haven't. But if it's anything halfway as good as their other stuff, then I will very much enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. If you liked Departure Songs, you're going to love this record.
I
love
Departure Songs, so yeah, definitely
we'll have to
have a listen to it. I just didn't get the time, unfortunately, to listen to it. We have a Sonos system in the office at work, in the new office, which is really good because it means, considering I'm there 2 days a week generally by myself, I can just put on whatever I want.
You can just play whatever you want. Fantastic.
Literally catching up on like the last sort of 3 or 4 months of stuff that I haven't had 5 seconds to listen to, and I can just put it on during the day and queue it up and listen. It's great.
I wish I could do that. Unfortunately, on this particular job that I'm doing, I don't have any phone reception when I'm out on site.
Yeah,
I have no phone reception in the field, because usually I'm all about playing the music and listening to new stuff and all that, because it could be quite a drag.
I'll bet.
It can be quite slow and boring. Mm.
Yeah, so
this time I'm going to go away for a week, so it won't be that bad.
Oh, it's not too bad then, mate.
Yeah.
Now, an album that you actually gave me to listen to, not as part of our album reviews or anything, but you just flicked me a message, I think it was on Messenger, and you said, hey, check out the new Kyo Dot album.
Yes, I did.
And you were like, you'll really like it.
I hope you did.
Can I ask why you thought I would like it? Was there something in particular that you thought I would really enjoy about it?
Ah, you didn't, did you?
I'm just curious. No, I'm not saying either which way yet. I'm just
okay. All right. You know. The sound of this record and the way that the vocals and the mixing of the sounds, particularly on the first song, Ocean. God, here we
go. Cumulonimbus.
Yeah, that's the one. I was trying to read it, and I've got the fonts that really small on my computer at the moment.
Yeah.
I thought that would appeal to you, that first track, and then the rest of the album was really, really good. The sort of the mix of the different instruments. I think Toby Driver is probably one of the most underrated music composers in the world going around right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's absolutely criminal what he has to do to try and survive and make his music. It's insanity. You know, he was like getting around actually selling instruments that he was working, he used on records to try and make the next one. And then when he goes on tour, he'll put his whole discography up on Bandcamp for a 20% discount to bankroll the tour and all this sort of stuff. It's, and this album, by the way, digital album, $7. That's how much this record to actually pay money for this record.
Yeah.
And he has other artists use Patreon or similar for their sort of subscription model. He's actually got one through Bandcamp.
Yeah, right.
So you can pay $10 a month and you get all the music. You can listen to mm-hmm, online, mm-hmm, and you get access to quote-unquote subscriber-only exclusives.
Sure.
So if you listen to this record and you like this record and you'd like to support his work, consider doing that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, I've put my cards on the table about what I think of this record. What did you think?
I can appreciate the album.
I sense a huge hairy butt coming, though.
No, there's no hairy butt. Look, I appreciate the album for what it is. It's not the type of thing. Like, I didn't listen to the album and immediately run home and be like, yo, you got to check this out. You know what I mean? It's not exactly the type of thing that I normally listen to, but it's atmospheric as fuck. Like, I could see it being in a movie, like as a soundtrack and things like that. I could see it being used that way. I'm not so sure it's something that I would listen to constantly, though. It's by all means, it's very well produced. It's very well written. It's very well performed. It's an extremely good album, but it's not exactly my cup of tea.
No, fair enough.
But that being said, you all should go out and listen to it. And if you like it, for God's sake, buy it, because that's like $12. Yes. You know, like $12 is three cups of coffee, people. Unless you're like me and you have to have macadamia and decaf, in which case it's two. So, you know.
I was going to say, or you happen to live in Perth where coffee is $5 no matter where you go. Which is why I don't have coffee out. But anyway. And also as well, we'll throw a link in the show notes to a podcast that Toby Driver appeared on where he goes into quite a lot of depth and detail on how this record was made and the concept behind it. It's based upon a story that was written by Jason Byron. Mm-hmm. The whole concept there, there's definitely a lot to dig into. My fiance is a huge Cow Dot fan, and we actually lashed out for the big, fancy, expensive version, which is really well put together, actually. A whole book and lots of artworks and very well presented. I'm not sure if that's still available. I'm pretty sure that was a limited run, but
more than likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're interested in that sort of music, I strongly suggest that you have a look at that on Bandcamp.
Absolutely. And like we said, I know we keep harping on about this, but if you did really like it, for God's sakes, throw some money their way. It's hard enough in the world at the moment to be a muso, let alone with people not actually paying you anything. You know, throw some dogs some bones and, you know.
Indeed.
Get them sorted. So.
Now, the final album that we had to talk about that has been released in the last couple of weeks is the eagerly anticipated new album from IQ, Resistance. Now, we've spoken about this record before on the show with their lead-off single, A Missile, which was debuted at Night of the Prog in Lorelei.
Mm-hmm.
You had a chance to listen to this record all the way through, Dave?
Damn fucking right I have.
Yes, that's right. We discussed this before on the What Did I Do Last Summer episode from a few weeks ago. It turns out you're actually a rather big IQ fan.
I'm a huge IQ fan. Yeah, this album's awesome. Like it's a mammoth. I mean, it's like an hour and 50 minutes or something.
I was going to say there are three songs on this album that are longer than 15 minutes.
Yep. Yep. One of them, by the way, is 22 minutes. One of them is 20 minutes, and one is just a smidge over 15.
Yep.
The rest of the tracks are clocking in sort of around the 6 minute mark. But it's good.
It's a long record, which is surprising because in this day and age, they tend to go more towards the shorter records because they don't have the constraints of CD anymore. They can go shorter.
Absolutely. They don't try and fill it up.
Obviously, IQ decided to go the other way, and they've got a lot of music in there. And by God, have they produced it?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, It's just, I tell you what, it reminds me of video game music, right?
Really?
And I'm not talking video game music like or any of that sort
You're
of,
not talking,
you know,
8-bit chiptune stuff here.
I'm not talking 8-bit chiptune. I'm not talking like that overly sickly, happy, weird stuff you get in like Zelda and, you know, Mario and all that sort of stuff. I'm talking like AAA title, weird sort of off the beat kind of ones, like, you know, what was it called, Heavy Rain, and you know, what was the other one that they did that the Quantum did, Detroit Nearly Human, whatever the fuck
it's
called.
You're on your own with this one, mate. I'm no video gamer.
It feels to me stupid cinematic, right? But proggy at the same time. It feels like I am in the middle of something actually playing, like I'm along for the ride with this album. You know, there's they talk about, you know, albums taking you on a journey and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, you've got your pretty quintessential proggy tracks like the opening one, which is called A Missile, and Stay Down, for example.
Yeah, I really liked Stay Down. That was a good one.
It's beautiful. It's a gorgeous track. And I mean, it's just great at the end as well when all the symphony kicks in and everything like that. The end, sort of two thirds of the way through. But then you've got songs like The Great Spirit Way, which is the giant fuck off 22 minute one, which is as it's sort of, I don't know how to describe it. It's sort of like Kraftwerk meets, Yes.
Yeah, like, there's a bit of that in there. Yeah.
You know, there's it's such a cool album. I don't know. It's a look, the bottom line of my rambling is for God's sake, go and listen to it and go and buy it. Like it's
absolutely
it's a great album. And I know I'm a big fan of IQ, so you know, take what I say with a grain of salt, but amazing. Absolutely.
As a relatively
incredible.
Recent IQ fan, I'd known about these guys for quite some time, and I'd heard maybe one or two tracks, but now I've really gotten into the band, and I can definitely say there's definitely something here. If you like Porcupine Tree, if you like Marillion, if you're a fan of even like Radiohead type stuff, you should listen to IQ. They're definitely of that sort of, and I hate this term, but they keep using it, so I'm going to run with it, neo-prog. It's very much of that era.
Yep, absolutely.
And, you know, that sort of sound, and these guys are really, really good.
Absolutely. No, it's a killer album. It really is. Really is. Yeah. So I think that's that's kind of the smaller albums taken care of, Hoogie.
Yes.
We've gone over very briefly about the new Opeth and the new Flying Colors album. I do want to just give a quick shout out to some new stuff that's coming out, I think, in about 2 days' time at time of recording. So by the time this episode's out, there will be a new Voyager track out as well, which will be the fourth one off their upcoming album.
All right. Man, they're really sort of spacing this out, sort of doing it out by piecemeal.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's interesting. I'm not quite sure it's the right decision, to be honest with you. But
I would have thought if you're just going to put the songs out, then don't really have an album. Just like put the songs out and it's like, yeah, we're just going to release songs one after the other for a while, you know.
We've got these new songs
and we're just going to release them as they are, you know.
That's right. And I mean, we've spoken about this as well in the past about, you know, things that realistically, what's the point in releasing albums anymore? You know, we've spoken about that. One person I do want to really, really point out as well is a Melbourne bloke. Melbourne band, but the gentleman is by the name of Rohan Stevenson, better known as I Built the Sky.
Oh, yeah.
Just released a brand new track, which is for his upcoming album called The Zenith Rise. You can pre-order that through... you can actually pre-order that on his little linky thing that he's got there. I'm going to link you to the YouTube thing in the notes and the show notes underneath here. I'm going to link you to the video of the new track called Up Into the Ether. I'll link that in the show notes underneath, and from there you can click through and pre-order the new album and so on and so forth. It is fucking huge. It's huge. And I'm going to see whether or not I can get these guys on the podcast at some point in the next little while as well. But definitely worthwhile to keep an eye out on this one. I'm not 100% sure exactly when it's supposed to come out, but according to his Bandcamp, it should be being released on the 1st of November, so about a month away yet. But worthwhile checking out. And check out his other stuff as well, because it's fucking incredible.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a big fan of I Built the Sky. They're great. They're fantastic. Love that stuff.
Right. Sweet. Okay.
So I think that brings us to our album reviews. Now, the album that I gave you last time we spoke, Dave, was by Hats Off Gentlemen, It's Adequate.
Yep.
A three-song EP called Arc.
Yes.
What did you think?
I really enjoyed it. It's no secret.
Fantastic.
We've had these guys on the podcast before, and
we've talked about them on the show. We haven't actually had them on the show.
Sorry. Yes, apologies. We haven't had them on the show, but we've spoken about them. We've had their music on the show before. I really like this album. It's apparently a short document explaining the personal and historical significance of the Ark Royal, containing photographs of Richard Galloway's air logs from his time serving on the Ark Royal in the Second World War. So apparently that's what it's sort of all about.
Malcolm Galloway, the man behind Hats Off Gentlemen, It's Adequate. That's actually his grandfather.
Ah, there you go. So that's what it's all about.
Yes.
Now, the actual song, the title track, Arc, it was okay, but I think it was really overshadowed by the next track, Chasing Neon, which was just fantastic. I really liked it. I don't know, all this stuff's instrumental, so there's no... actually, tell a lie. There's lyrics on the third track. There's lyrics on the third.
Yeah, that is that's a traditional Irish folk song that's been sort of rewritten and redone for. Yeah, it's a traditional Irish folk song.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know that. There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really, really cool track as well. But I think Chasing Neon is probably the best one off that album. I do want to mention in here as well that Hats Off Gentlemen, It's Adequate are actually running a full digital discography sale at the moment. So you can get their entire digital discography for £25, which is about $50. Definitely worth it because you get obviously all their stuff. So you get Arc, Out of Mind, Invisible, etc. You get the entire discography.
Out of Mind was the last record that we had a look at on the show,
which was awesome.
Which we both really enjoyed actually. So you remember that from the previous time we've spoken about it, and you like that one, get a hold of this one as well.
Yeah.
Now
absolutely.
The one you gave me, Dave, was by a local from local boys, Sky Signals. You gave me the album Illume.
Indeed. Illumina? What did you think?
Illumina. I really enjoyed this. Actually,
I don't know if it's Illumine. I don't know, man. It's Illumin.
Yeah. But it was really, really good. Actually, I really enjoyed it. This is a
fantastic
great
record.
Yeah, yeah. The track that I actually liked was the third one, Shattered Visions. That was really cool.
Yeah,
they're all really cool. It's kind of hard to pick. Pick one as like this is the one.
Yeah,
I'll probably pick that one. But that was a really cool record. Actually, I thoroughly enjoyed listening to that one. So
it's also worth noting as well that in this age of digital stuff, Sky Signals have gone to the, I suppose, extent of having really good artwork. I know it's still a thing that's generally done in the prog community. You have a decent sort of cover art and so on and so forth, but these guys have a recurring theme as well in that big sun eclipse thing in the sky.
Yeah, it's on their previous two records as well.
Yep.
Silent Dreams and Shadows of Life. They've got that.
Which I think
very
are
bold design in the middle, yeah.
Shadows of Life and Silent Dreams, I think those are both singles from this album, if I remember correctly.
You're absolutely right, yeah.
But, the actual...
Feel free to cut that.
The actual artwork is gorgeous. It's absolutely stunningly beautiful, the artwork for this
really
particular
is.
Album. And it's one of those ones where, you know, if you saw that artwork on vinyl, you'd pick it up and buy it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
It definitely lends itself to a vinyl, you know, big vinyl gatefold type arrangement.
100%. And I mean, you probably can't do that being Sky Signals, being from Sydney. There's probably not much course in actually doing a vinyl run.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But it is
you
nice.
Would literally
I'd
have
actually
to
like
take
to get a poster
pre-order.
Of it.
Yeah.
It's a nice.
Yeah, that'd be good.
There's a really nice, really nice
big
cover.
Poster. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Shattered Vision's absolutely brilliant. I really like the Sage and Savant. which was it's a really, really cool one. And the lyrics for it are nice as well. Like, they're a little bit more of the sort of stuff that I tend to write a lot about, which is like people that are sort of uprising and, you know, great lyrics in this particular track as well. Appease them if you can. It will not help your fate. They will not take a stand. They destroy, not create, which is just a cool lyric. I just like it. But yeah, for me, I'm going to do the thumbs up. Hats off, gentlemen. Two thumbs up from me. Sky Signals from you.
Yeah, definitely a thumbs up for me. It's a really, really, really cool record. Really nice to see a young band coming through, especially in Sydney as well, because fuck me, you guys need all the help you can get.
Oh, bloody oath. And I know we bang on about this a lot, but we really do. it's just not fair.
Yeah. What have you got for me this time, Dave?
This week, I've got a album. I think I might have actually mentioned these guys on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. A band called Clone with a K, K-L-O-N-E.
I think you have mentioned these guys before.
Yeah, well, they've just released a new album. I say just, it's been sort of about a week or two, called Le Grand Voyage. The title track, Yonder, I'm pretty sure I either flicked to you at some point or something like that.
Sounds vaguely familiar, yeah.
Yeah, definitely check this out. Check this one out. That's what I'm giving to you. What are you giving me, I should say?
So I am not 100% sure how I discovered this record. I think it may have been through some Spotify recommendations or something. But I'm going to give you an album by a band called Nova Collective. These guys are out of North Carolina. Right. And they have an album called The Further Side. This is from 2017, so a little bit further back. I think you'd really enjoy this one, so tell me what you think.
Sweet. I'll definitely check on that one and check it out. I think that about brings us to the end of the episode, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Beautiful, beautiful. So
if you'd like to find the show notes for this episode, you can find them at the98podcast.fireside.fm/40.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is 40th one. Yeah,
oh, bloody hell, 40th episode.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. We're closing in on the 50.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, bloody hell.
Don't know what we're going to do for that one. Big guest or something, I think.
Yeah, I think we do. I'll see what I can find. And if you'd like to chat with us or send us a message, send us any feedback about the show, you can find us on Twitter at 98FM, or you can find us through the Dream Theater Fan Club of Australia and New Zealand. We always check all of those social media thingies, and we're always checking our emails as well for any fan mail and such that we do receive. And we do try to get back to everyone that does send us messages. So, yeah, if you want to get in touch, please do.
Absolutely. So I think that about wraps it up for this week's show.
I'm pretty sure it does.
My name is Alex Hogg.
And my name is Dave Ellis.
See you all next time.
See you then.